You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Orioles fans. Today is Thursday, April 15th, and welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, Connor Newcomb, and coming up on today's episode, we are going to have a Mailbag Thursday, reaching into the mailbag to answer a couple of your Orioles questions, all coming from listeners this week. Now, we thought we were going to have a game to talk about today, but for the second time in 3 days, the Orioles and the Mariners have been rained out. There will be a doubleheader played today. It will start at 12:35 Eastern Time, 2 7-inning games between the Orioles and the Mariners at Camden Yards. Two things about that. First, not great that the Mariners are going to have to start play at 9:35 Pacific time. Obviously they've been on the East Coast for, a little bit now. They went from Seattle to Minnesota to Baltimore, so they've kind of changed time zones a couple times, so it's not like they're coming right from Seattle to Baltimore for a 9:35 Pacific time game, but still, that's a little rough. And then, really the second thing about this is that, you look at this series, and this was supposed to be a regular four-game series. This will end up being 4 7-inning games in the series because Monday got rained out. They played 2 7s on Tuesday. Wednesday gets rained out, 2 7s on Thursday. Now, there was one extra inning in Game 1 on Tuesday, so they've actually played 15 innings so far in the series. And frankly, Game 2 almost went to extras, had Ramon Urias not walked it off. But we will see how many innings of baseball there is. But, of course, this 7-inning doubleheader rule was put in last year. I have to go back and look, but I have to imagine this might be the first time that any two teams have played 4 7-inning games in a series. Pretty weird thing that continues to happen here in baseball in 2021. But because of that, no game to recap. We will recap the doubleheader on tomorrow's episode, but today instead we will open up the mailbag. Two questions to get to here on this episode, which is brought to you by Locker Room. You can download the Locker Room app and join me later today after the two games for a live Locker Room chat about the Orioles doubleheader, and you can get in on the action over at Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. So a Mailbag Thursday episode here on the podcast, and definitely got some interesting questions that I wanted to dive into. Actually, three questions we'll kind of address here, but two of them combined kind of into one here on the pod. But I am going to start with a question from listener Chris. We thank you, Chris Franz, who continues to send in some mailbag questions. He says, I'd like to see Urias get an extended look as the starting second baseman. Among Ramon Urias, Rio Ruiz, and Pat Valleca, who has the most upside? So we're going to start with that question today. And, it really is an interesting question because as we've talked about, we came into the season thinking Yomer Sanchez was going to be the Orioles starting second baseman when the Orioles claimed him off waivers from the White Sox back in November after they had non-tendered Hanser Alberto. It was basically setting up for Sanchez, who had won a gold glove in 2019, solid defender, switch hitter, and a veteran in Major League Baseball, was going to be the starter. But the Orioles DFA him and it leaves second base wide open. So for the first week or so of the season, you saw Urias there, you saw Ruiz there, you saw Valleca there. Well, now, of course, Pat Valleca, has since been optioned down to the Orioles alternate site. So it's between Urias and Ruiz right now getting the starts. And frankly, it's been, not a completely even split, but it's been mostly Ruiz against righties and Urias against lefties. Now, Urias has played a little bit against righties as well. And of course, got the walk-off hit on Tuesday night, which helps out his case. But we haven't gotten to see a lot of each this season. And obviously, we've seen much, much more of Rio Ruiz in a Orioles uniform than we have of Urias. To kind of start the question, it's nice that Valleca is included in there. But Valleca will really, in his major league career, never be more than a utility guy, a bench infielder. Can maybe be a starting infielder on a bad team if there are injuries or whatever. But he will never be, you know, a starting infielder on at least a solid team. He's more of a bench bat, can get you some hits off some lefties, can play a lot of positions, but not exactly at a high level. And he's an important player to have on your roster. You'd like to have him as a bench infielder, but not really a starter type. So he kind of comes out of the question. So it's really down to Ruiz and Urias. And, you know, the interesting part about this question is that, you know, if you ask most people associated with the Orioles, if you ask most people covering the Orioles, the thought is that neither of these guys are long-term answers for the Orioles, not at second base, not really at any position, Ramon Urias or Rio Ruiz. Of course, Ruiz has been with the O's since 2019, was basically the starting third baseman for all of 2019 and 2020. Then the question marks came in this year, especially when the Orioles signed Michael Franco. But Ruiz has got his shot at second base, and he's honestly done better than many expected defensively at that second base position. But the bat still hasn't really come around for Rio. You know, you look at the numbers for Rio Ruiz, you look at his StatCast page, and again, small sample size here in 2021, but, you know, the exit velocity, the expected batting average, the hard hit percentage, the slugging percentage, all down. His sprint speed, very low as well, which is interesting. You know, you'd think he'd be a solid runner. It is not the case. And, you know, he's done better this year in not chasing balls out of the zone so far, but still it hasn't yielded great results for him. You know, he's got 36 plate appearances. He is 4-for-32 at the dish this season. He does have a home run, but a 125 batting average, a 441 OPS so far for Ruiz isn't going to cut it. And it's been nice that he's looked pretty solid defensively at second base. And, you know, we've seen him over at third sometimes too, but that's really not going to cut it. So you kind of look to Urias, and he hasn't gotten really much of a sample size at all. 14 plate appearances. He is now 3-for-13 at the dish. And so, you know, you've barely seen much of him at all. We really didn't get to see much of him at all in 2020 after he made his debut late in that season, after the Orioles claimed him off waivers from the Cardinals before the start of the 2020 season. So in a broad sense, to answer Chris's question, I don't think either of these guys are really long-term options for the Orioles. I think Urias long-term, if he can stick in the major leagues, becomes, you know, somewhat of a bench bat, a guy who is versatile, can play all the infield positions. And I think at best, you know, he could be a starting second baseman for a bad team, but it doesn't seem like he has, you know, really the power to get himself to the next level. In terms of being an everyday player, he's a solid defender, but he's not really elite at any position, it seems, which does hurt him as well. And then Rio Ruiz, you know, still at age 26, you know, it's surprising to learn that both of these guys are actually 26 years old at this point. I think many feel that, you know, just looking at it, you probably would think that Urias is younger, but both of these guys 26 years old. And, you know, for Ruiz, we've seen a lot of him in an Oriole uniform. You know, we saw what he could do in 2019, and it was, you know, an okay year. We saw what could happen in 2020 when things go downhill, and they have continued to go downhill for Rio. So really, you know, next year even, I don't see either of these guys being a big part of the Orioles. By 2023, I don't think either of these players are on the Orioles major league roster by that point. You know, maybe one of them could still be back next year, as the Orioles will probably still be in the rebuild then. But to talk about upside, you know, if one of these two was going to get a starting job, breakout, something like that, you know, I was really thinking it would be Ruiz, just because we've seen him at his best be a solid hitter from the left side. He can play defense. He's got some pop in that bat. But, you know, to answer Chris's question, I'm going to say Ramon Urias has the higher upside of these two guys. And the reason I'm going to conclude with that is, frankly, we've seen less of Urias at this point. We've seen, you know, more success for him in the early 2021 season. We saw success late in 2020. He's barely had a sample size at the major league level, but the Orioles clearly see something in him to stick with him, get rid of Yomer Sanchez, and put Urias on the opening day roster here in 2021. And they clearly saw something to claim him from the Cardinals off waivers last year. And, you know, I think this is such a hard question to answer because neither of them has stuck out. But the fact that I think we know what Rio Ruiz is at this point, he's kind of a replacement level player and sometimes below that, and we don't as much know what Urias' ceiling can be, I think I'd take Urias. You know, it's not a lot of pop in the bat, but he's shown more than I thought he had. It's not an elite defender, but he could play a lot of positions. And, you know, the hit tool is maybe more there than many thought. And I'm going to take Urias here. I don't think either of them have a huge ceiling, but I would say Urias has the higher upside. But thanks for that question. Next up, we will answer another mailbag question here on the pod. It has to do with the Orioles outfield crunch and what is going to happen once Hayes is healthy and Yusniel Diaz is knocking on the major league door. That comes up after the break. Back to the mailbag in a second, but first, this episode of Locked On Orioles is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I'll be hosting rooms for Locked On Orioles every week. Yes, every week you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course reacting to the big news or rumors. Be sure to join me this week. I'll be hosting a room later today after the Orioles doubleheader against the Mariners ends for a post-game reaction and discussion with you, the Orioles fans. So if you want to get in on that discussion, go download the free Locker Room app now, which is currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. And follow me at Connor Newcomb to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live again later today after the Orioles doubleheader against the Mariners. Can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the O's. See you there at Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by RockAuto.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money so that you can use that money for more important things like a mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or 100% more for the same exact auto parts at a chain store or at a new car dealership? Instead, you can go to rockauto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. And the best part of it is, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same exact parts? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On Orioles in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So we will get to our second mailbag question of the day here in just a second. But first, got to tell you about another podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods. So mailbag question number two. I'm going to combine two questions that we got, one from Rob Daniels, another from Dylan Atkinson, two listeners of the pod. We thank you for your questions. Now, Rob Daniels simply said, is Yusniel Diaz still a prospect? And then Dylan Atkinson's question, a little more in depth, said, with Mullins, Mountcastle, Santander, Stewart, Hayes all in the outfield mix once Hayes returns off the IL, how does Yusniel Diaz eventually fit in? And I kind of wanted to combine these two questions because they both are about Yusniel Diaz. And, you know, Yusniel Diaz, of course, when he came over from the Dodgers in the Manny Machado trade, was seen as the top guy in that trade and was one of the top prospects at that point in the Orioles system. Well, he has become kind of a polarizing prospect for, you know, not just Orioles fans and people who cover this team, but really national prospect journalists who, you know, look at this from a wider scale and are obviously focused on the Orioles because MLB Pipeline just ranked the Orioles the number five system in all of baseball. So people are really paying attention to this system much more than they usually do. And, you know, I will say, first and foremost, Yusniel Diaz is still a prospect. You know, he is in everybody's top 20 list. Number 19 in the Orioles system is the lowest you will see him on any list across baseball. You will usually see him, you know, more so around the 11-12 range, and there are some lists that still have him in the top 10 of Orioles prospects. So no doubt he is still a prospect, to answer Rob's question. But, you know, the issue is there are some varying thoughts on Yusniel Diaz. Now, the first thing you have to talk about with Yusniel is the injury history. That's maybe the reason, probably the reason, we didn't see him, honestly, in 2020. You know, if he would have stayed healthy once he came over to the O's at the 2018 trade deadline, he would have been set up to play outfield for some amount of time for the Orioles in 2020. And honestly, that's with Ryan Mountcastle making his debut. You know, honestly, if things went perfectly for the Orioles, and Diaz was healthy and had gotten the at-bats he needed in the minor leagues, once Santander went down with the oblique injury late in the 2020 season and missed those final 20 games, that should have been Yusniel Diaz's time to come up. You know, you get him in the lineup for, 15, 16 games to end the season, got to get a little sample size to see what you've got from Diaz at the major league level. But the continued injuries for Diaz just have kept him from doing that. And somehow, still at this point, he has not had an at-bat at the AAA level. And, we know he had success in 2019 in Bowie for that great Bay Sox team, but that was when he stayed healthy. He, again, was not healthy for the entirety of that 2019 season. We know he was at the alternate site in 2020. He got added to the 40-man roster this offseason, but still has not made that major league debut. And, I do expect, no matter what the circumstances, Yusniel Diaz will hit, will appear in a game in some form or fashion in an Orioles uniform in 2021. It's going to happen this year. The Orioles, no matter what the sample size is, they're going to get their first look at Diaz this season. But the question becomes, how does that happen? Because Dylan brings up a good point. Right now, you look at the outfield. Mullins is leading Major League Baseball in hits. He's not losing a spot right now. Mountcastle, he struggled in left field. Now he's kind of the DH, but still he's in that lineup after struggling early. He's really heating up over the past couple of games. Santander, he hasn't hit to the level he did last year yet, but he's been a really good solid piece in the middle of the order and has played a good right field. He's not coming out of there. DJ Stewart has come off the injured list last week, and he has looked pretty good at the plate and in left field for the Orioles since coming off. Ever since he came off the IL, he's gone to left field, and Mountcastle has DH'd for the Orioles. And Stewart, this has probably been the best stretch defensively I've seen him have in the outfield for the O's. The arm looks really good. The plate discipline's still there. He's getting hits. I'm impressed with DJ Stewart so far in 2021. And those guys are all only playing because Austin Hayes is on the injured list again. But of course, even though Hayes had a little bit of a rough start to the season before he got injured, he was red hot in spring training and was looking to have a breakout 2021. The Orioles still feel he is an outfielder of the future, so he's not going anywhere. And that's not even all the outfielders on the active roster right now, because when Hayes went on the IL, it was Ryan McKenna who got called up and made his major league debut. And now, the jury is definitely still out on Ryan McKenna. We haven't, he's gotten a couple starts. We've seen some ABs. He's gotten two hits so far, had a triple for his first major league hit. We know he's a good base runner. He's fast. We know he plays a great defensive outfield and can play all three outfield positions very, very well. But the bat is, as we know, very limited for Ryan McKenna. So I don't think he's locked down a spot. But, there was another reason he got called up instead of Yusniel Diaz to replace Austin Hayes. It's because he plays good defense. He's a good base runner. He's the perfect kind of fourth outfielder type. Whereas if Diaz is up, he needs to be getting regular ABs to be able to contribute to the team, because he's just not, a plus runner or a plus defender that can help you, as a substitution late in games like McKenna can. So, we're going to see Yusniel Diaz at the alternate site. He did homer against the Nats. The Orioles played the Nats in an alternate site game on Tuesday, and Diaz was one of four Orioles who went yard in that game, which was nice to see for the O's down in Bowie. But, I think he's going to get AAA at-bats. I don't think he'll come to the Orioles unless there's another big injury to an outfielder. I don't think he'll come to the Orioles before the minor league season starts. I think that first week of May, he will be either in left field or right field, hitting in the middle of the Norfolk Tides lineup to start the AAA season. And, at that point, the Orioles are finally going to get him his first AAA at-bats. And after that, we will see what happens. But, if Diaz is lighting it up offensively in the month of May in Norfolk, and by June he's knocking on the door to come to the big leagues, it's going to be interesting for the Orioles. You can always find an injury, or it always feels like someone's going to be injured to, give Diaz a shot. But if everybody's healthy, probably take McKenna out of the equation. He's probably going to be back down in AAA as well with Hayes healthy. But to really find at-bats for Yusniel Diaz, I think the thing that needs to happen, that's Dylan's question, how does Yusniel Diaz eventually fit in? The thing that's going to happen at some point is one of these outfielders is going to get traded. Now, you don't want to trade away any of these guys right now because they're still young and you still want to see what they can do. But if Santander is producing at a high level this season, or at least somewhat close to what he did in 2020, We heard the trade rumors this offseason. I think Michael Elias is going to trade Anthony Santander, especially if Yusniel Diaz is really heating up in Norfolk and needs a spot. Because I think the Orioles can get some prospects back for Santander. They can get some pitching back for Santander. And I think even a good move would be to add two, a prospect or two and maybe a major league ready bullpen arm just to, add another arm to the mix in 2021 for the Orioles. I think, two good prospects and an arm that's ready right now would be a good trade for Santander. And the thing is, he's been great, but we haven't seen him over a full season. He's a former Rule 5 pick. We still don't know what he can do in, 150 game stretch. And, his value, as we've talked about, may never be higher. So I could see a Santander trade happening to free up space for Yusniel Diaz. But I think the big worry when it comes to Diaz, besides the injuries that have hindered him so far in his minor league career, is the fact that a lot of prospect analysts, Eric Longenhagen of Fangraphs, their top prospect analyst is one of them. There's been others who have talked about this as well across baseball, are kind of low on Diaz right now. He's continuing to kind of slip down Orioles prospects list across the board. And again, he's not out of the top 20 anywhere. He's mostly around the 9, 10, 11, 12 range in the Orioles system, but he is slipping a little bit. And I think many are concerned, not just about the injuries, but about the big swing and miss in his game. He's got some pitches, the elevated fastball and the breaking ball down and away, that he really struggles with and just can't get to. And it kind of showed up as well, in his ABs in spring training this year. And it's something the Orioles want to work on, which is why I think they want him to finally get those AAA at-bats come May. But if those problems start coming around, maybe he falls down the pecking order a little bit. And we'll see if Ryan McKenna can grab this spot. I don't think he has done anything to really grab on to a major league spot yet. But McKenna will still get some time to do that while Hayes is on the IL. And maybe Ryan McKenna starts to impress more than he has. And if Diaz doesn't knock on the door, this whole contingency plan is about Diaz, lighting it on fire, knocking on the door, forcing the Orioles' hand and making them make a move. If that isn't the case from Diaz, and, he's not knocking on the door, or someone, say Hayes is tanking or Stewart's tanking and they need to make a change, Diaz could be the odd man out at some point. And that's disappointing because you think how big it was for him to come over as the headliner prospect in the Manny Machado trade, your best player of the last decade plus, the trade you make with him, the headliner maybe not working out, sucks to think about, but it definitely could happen. And I think Diaz might, unless there's a big injury up here, might get a full month to kind of go at it at Norfolk. And that could decide, a month or two in Norfolk could decide a lot of things for the Orioles, especially if Stewart keeps impressing, Santander keeps impressing, Mullins keeps impressing, all these guys continue to get it done at the major league level. It's obviously a good problem to have that the Orioles have too many solid outfielders right now, but they're going to have to make a decision on some of them at some point in 2021. But thanks for the great mailbag questions on the pod today. Coming up next to finish off the pod, we will take a brief look at what's coming up in the Oriole doubleheader later today and look at what is coming up next on the podcast. That is after this break. So back to the Orioles talk in just a second, but first got to tell you about betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NBA coming close to the playoffs, the NHL coming close to the playoffs. We've got Major League Baseball in full swing and some golf tournaments, some tennis majors coming around as well. You can bet on it all and more over at betonline.ag. But it's not just sports. They even cover award shows, TV shows, and reality TV if you'd like to place a wager on any of that. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and best of all, it's free to sign up. So head over to the website right now or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that is promo code LOCKEDON, and you can get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. So once again, would like to thank Dylan, Rob, and Chris for their mailbag questions today. We'll do another mailbag episode next week. If you want to get in those questions, email us at LockedOnOrioles@gmail.com or tweet me at @ConnorNewcomb_ or tweet the podcast account at @LockedOnOrioles. You can also DM either account. DMs are open to get in those mailbag questions. But we're going to take a look at today's doubleheader against the Mariners in a second. But first, got to tell you about another podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network for you fantasy baseball players. You can be a waiver wire winner with the Locked On Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So it will be the Orioles and the Mariners for another doubleheader, 2 7-inning games being played back-to-back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, which will start today at 12:35 Eastern Time on Masson. And so the series could go many ways after today. It could be a 3-1 win for the Mariners, 3-1 win for the Orioles, or a 2-2 split in the four games. But looking at game number one first, it will be Matt Harvey getting the ball once again for his third start with the Baltimore Orioles. And, you know, he has been solid so far. You know, he's gotten through right around 5 innings in each of his first 2 starts. And that's what you're kind of going to expect from Matt Harvey. But it makes it a little easier to get that when it's just a 7-inning game like it is today. So if the Orioles can get, you know, 5 innings, maybe 2 runs out of Matt Harvey like they've been getting in his first 2 starts, they will most likely take that, most definitely take that against the Mariners today. He will go up against the 29-year-old left-hander Marco Gonzalez, who will make the start in game number one for the Mariners. Gonzalez was expected to be kind of the veteran steadying presence in the young Mariners rotation this year, but it has not gone well for him so far this season. In 2 starts, he has worked 10 and a third innings. He has a 10.45 ERA with 8 strikeouts on the year. And again, things are just not looking up through 2 starts from Gonzalez. You'll see a sinker, curveball, changeup, and cutter from Gonzalez on the season. That sinker is what he throws most, over 40% of the time. It, you know, comes in not too hard, right around 88 miles an hour, but opponents hitting only 188 against that pitch this year. But that pitch has been kind of interesting because the expected batting average against it has been 332, but the batting average has only been 188. So he's been getting a little lucky with that sinker. He should honestly be even worse this season, but his off-speed pitches are getting crushed. His next biggest use pitch is the curveball. Opponents hitting 455 against that. Also hitting 455 against his changeup and 571 against his cutter. You know, Gonzalez basically uses the sinker about 45% of the time and then kind of splits up fairly evenly between curveball, changeup, and cutter the rest of his pitches. Again, a soft tossing left-hander who, you know, has had some success, don't get me wrong, but it has not been that way so far this year. Last season with Seattle, he made 11 starts and did have a 3.10 ERA. He's looking to kind of find that form once again for the Mariners. Should see a righty heavy lineup for the Orioles in game one. Then in game two, the Orioles will send Bruce Zimmerman out there for his 3rd start of the season, looking to build off back-to-back starts that have gone 6 innings and 3 earned runs. I think in a 7-inning game, Orioles will take that once again from Bruce. He will go once again in front of his hometown fans, and he will take on the right-hander Justin Dunn, 25-year-old righty, former first-round pick of the Mets, who came over via trade to the Mariners and has had an interesting start, to say the least, to his season. He's made 1 start. He went 4 2/3 innings. Now, he was not horrendous in those 4 2/3. He struck out 3 batters, at least the runs he gave up was not horrendous in that 4 2/3. Again, only 3 earned runs. Struck out 3. He walked 8 batters in that 1st start. 8 walks in 4 2/3 innings. It was outstanding, unbelievable that he only gave up 3 runs. He gave up 1 hit and he walked 8. A very odd day for Justin Dunn to start his season. He made 10 starts last year for the Mariners and had a 4.34 ERA in their rotation. The walks have been an issue his whole career. In his major league career, he has tossed 57 innings. He has more walks, 48, than strikeouts with 46. So if the Orioles can be patient against Dunn, they should have some success in game two of that doubleheader. But again, that will finish up the four-game set against the Mariners. And then the Orioles will stay at home. They will host another AL West team. It will be the lowly Texas Rangers who will come into Camden Yards for a three-game series starting on Friday. The Rangers do not look good. The pitching isn't good. The hitting is horrendous. Of course, they were just no-hit last week by Joe Musgrove of the San Diego Padres. Not a lot of redeeming qualities for the Rangers. Should be a good chance for the Orioles to take a series. But Bryce Patterick is going to join us. He is the host of Locked On Rangers here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And he will be with us on the pod tomorrow to preview the three-game set between Texas and Baltimore. But until then, I'm Connor Newcomb. And this has been the Locked On Orioles Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.